Today's shiur is Masechet Zvachim Daf Tzadik Aleph from a base, and we will be Tzadik Beis, and we will begin on Daf Tzadik Aleph from a base, 10 lines from the bottom. We discussed in our previous shiur, a person could bring a carbon that's just yayin, a person could bring a carbon that's, according to some opinions, just shemen. So says Shmuel, Amish Shmuel, Amish Nadav Yayin, if somebody indeed brought a carbon that just consists of wine, the loch is Mevei Mezalfal Gabi Ishim. Where would it be put? It would be put directly on the fire, on the Mizbeach. Interesting, the Migdash Tovet asks an interesting question. When we learn here the Mevei Mezalfal Gabi Ishim that's put directly on the Mizbeach, he asks, when we put it on the Mizbeach, what category would we have to put it into? Would we put it into the category of Nisuch? Or would he put it into the category of haktorah? There are many nafkaminas, he points out. One nafkamina is how much you have to put on. By haktorah, the shear is a kazayis. By nisuch, the shear is minimum shear is shloishes lugim. Another nafkamina is could you put it directly on the mizbeach, or do you have to take it and pour it out of a keli? By nisuch, the halach is it was poured out of a keli. By haktorah, you could just deposit it directly on the Mizbeach. Klisharis, you have to put the wine into something, but you could pour it, you don't have to pour it out of Klisharis. Another Nafkamina, interesting Nafkamina. The Pasuk teaches us, a kol karbonecho takrav melech. You have to put salt on everything. So if it's considered part of the haktara, of haktara, you would have to put wine, salt on the wine. Nisuch obviously doesn't have that halacha. So the Gemara is teaching us that according to Shmuel, it's put directly on the fire. My Tama, what's the reason? Omakra, the Pasuk says, V'yayin takrav nesach, chatzi ahin, isha richot neich nashem. Put it directly on the fire. Ask the Gemara, v'komachabi, but by doing so, aren't you extinguishing the fire? And we know that the Torah says, eish tomid tukaram izbeach loy sichbe. Answers the Gemara, kibu b'miksas loy shma kibui. Just extinguishing part of the fire, you're going to put it on here just on part of the fire, that's not considered a kibbutz. So the Brisker Rav makes a very interesting observation. He says, how could there ever be a problem of kibbutz of the fire on the Mizbeach? We know that the fire, there were two fires on the Mizbeach. There was the fire that the Kohanim made, and there was the fire that came down in Hashemayim. And that fire that came down in Hashemayim never gets extinguished. So there's never a possibility for Lois Sichba. Says the Brisker Rav, from this Gemara we see that the Torah is teaching us that even though the fire from the Mizbeach will never get extinguished, that doesn't change the din that we're not allowed to do anything to extinguish the man-made fire. The Or Sameach has a whole interesting mahalach to this Gemara. He says the way to understand the Gemara, he says the Gemara works around the old concept that we've discussed of Esei Doich Eloisasei. On one hand, he's saying that the halacha is the Torah says to put it on the fire. So there's a mitzvah Esei that should be Doich Eloisasei of extinguishing the fire. But then, what, and all of this is not explicit in the Gemara, and then the issue is, but there's a mitzvah Esei also to keep the fire going. Eish Tamet Tukat. So you can't apply the concept of Esei Doich Eloisasei, because the halacha is Ein Esei Doich Eloisasei Vasei, to which the Gemara says that even though you have a Eloisasei Vasei prohibiting you from extinguishing the fire, since this is not a full-fledged extinguishing, because it's only Kibbutz B'Miktzas, it's permitted. Continues the Gemara, Eini, asks the Gemara, is that true, that even a Kibbutz B'Miktzas is mutter? If somebody takes off just a coal from the Mizbeach, the kibbutz, and he extinguishes it, chayiv. So you see that it's, even though it's only kibbutz b'miktzas, it's considered a kibbutz. So here too, the Brisker Rav makes the point. Answers the Gemara, let's just say the terrorist, then we'll ask the Brisker Rav, the lek alahai. We're talking about a case that this is the only coal on the Mizbeach. So since it's the only coal on the Mizbeach, if you take it off, it's not a kibbutz b'miktzas, it's a full-fledged kibbutz. Ask the Brisker Rav, if the Gemara is referring to a situation that this is the only coal on the Mizbeach. So why did the Gemara have to say that you took it off and extinguished it? Just taking it off itself is considered extinguishing because there's nothing left. Says the Brisker Rav that you have to explain the Gemara as follows. That when you took the coal off the Mizbeach, there were other coals there. So the removal of the coal itself is not considered a Maisa Kibui. It's only after you took off that coal, all the other coals somehow were removed, and therefore, by extinguishing it, it's not a Kibui B'mixus. Furthermore, the Mefarshim all make the obvious point that even though here we're learning that it's prohibited to remove a coal from the Mizbeach, that has nothing to do with the din that we learned earlier in Amasech, that if a coal flies off the Mizbeach, you don't have to replace, you don't have to put it back on. Because there, it flew off by itself. Here, you removed it. Ibai Seima, Kibui de Mitzvah Shani. When there's a mitzvah to do it? And again, if we go back to the Or Sameach Svart, and there's a mitzvah, and it's a Kibui B'mixus. So therefore, given all of these factors, we don't have to worry about the essay and the lysosay that prohibit extinguishing the fire on the Mizbeach. However, in a situation where there's no mitzvah involved, so we have a lysosay vasay that make it a strong isser to do any extinguishing of the fire, and therefore we can't do it under any circumstances. Continues the Gemara, Toshma, the Tanner of Elazar ben Yankif, Klapish and not the Torah, Litra. Since the Torah, we spoke about this numerous times, the Torah teaches us that we should do Trumas Adeshin, Yochel, so we think that in doing the Trumas Adeshin, which we know means taking the ash off the Mizbeach every day, we would think that you could do so even if it involves extinguishing, Yochel, Yichav V'yitram, Amr Lo Yichav. So we see from here that even if there's a mitzvah involved, and it's also Kibbutz B'mixus, we're not, the Bryce is telling us that it's still prohibited. So how can we suggest that it's mutter when there's a mitzvah and kibbutz b'mixus? Answers the Gemara, simple terms. Shani hasam the yosav anotar. By the Trumas Adeshin, you can wait for them to get extinguished by themselves. So certainly don't do anything active. Here you're going to have to pour it. And there's nothing you could do. Waiting won't help you. Interesting point that the Migdash David makes. We discussed earlier when we spoke about this shiur, spoke about this, that the halacha is that what is the Trumas Adeshin done with? What ash? The ash of the coals, the ash of the Avarim, not the ash of the wood. So why didn't the Gemara say simple teretz? That way are we doing the Trumas Adeshin with the ash of the Avarim. And the Trumas Adeshin is not with that ash. We could have said a very simple teretz. Says the Migdash David, from here we have a raya that even if there's a halacha, which specific ash should be used for the Trumas Adeshin, that has nothing to do with the halacha of kibui. Kibui is prohibited whether it's ash of the wood or it's ash of the Avarim. Therefore, the Gemara's question is understandable. Tashma, so the Gemara quotes Brisa that we learned in the previous year. Yayin, the wine, kediver Rebbe Kiva, according to Rebbe Kiva, that you can bring a carbon that just is wine, lasfalim, should be put on those bowls that want them as bath. Shemen, kediver Rebbe Tarfin, according to Rebbe Tarfin, it says you can bring a carbon shemen, leishim. It says you should put it on the fire. V'oi, Tanya, Yayin Nesach, lasfalim, ena leishim, says the Gemara, Amrit lo yichava. The Torah says that you're not allowed to do so. So here we see clearly that the Brisa is, Brisa is teaching us that we shouldn't put it on the fire. How come we're saying here that you may? Answers the Gemara like Kasha. Harab Yehuda, Harab Shimon. Throughout Shas, we have a machloikus of Rabbi Yehuda and Shimon of Dovish and Miskaven. Rabbi Yehuda holds that a dover shem skaven is osur. Reb Shimon holds that a dover shem skaven is mutter. So the brisa that says that you're allowed to pour it, even though it may get extinguished, is following the opinion of Reb Shimon. The brisa that says you're not allowed to is following the opinion of Reb Yehuda. So Rashi asked the obvious question. Even though we know throughout Shas we have the opinion of Reb Shimon, dover shem skaven is mutter, And from here we see that it's not limited, and we'll discuss this maybe later a little more, that Davar She'eira Miskaven is not limited to Hilchos Shabbos, because we're not learning Hilchos Shabbos here. But Rav Shimon still holds that a Psik Reisha by Davar She'eira Miskaven is also. What does the word Psik Reisha mean? That if you're going to chop off the head of a chicken, it's going to die. So the question here is, if you're going to pour wine on the Mizbeach, it's a Psik Reisha. So why, how could you say the coin to Rav Shimon? It's mutter. Because it's Davar She'eira Miskaven, you're not intending to extinguish the fire. Rav Shimon holds that by Eina, that where it's Psik Reisha, it's Osir. So I saw many Terutzim in the Rishonim. The first one that asked the question is Rashi. Rashi says because you pour the wine drop by drop, teepin, teepin. And there's a machloikas ha'achroinim, how would I understand Rashi's pshat? It's negel aloch lemaisa. Some say that that's what Rashi means. You pour drop by drop, and since you pour drop by drop, it's not a psik reisha that it's going to extinguish the fire. Other Rishonim say different pshat in Rashi. You know when something is considered a psik reisha? Only if there is no way to do this malacha without the result that's osur. But if there's a way of doing the malacha, the way of doing this act, where it won't be osur, it won't be a psik reisha, even though you didn't do it that way, the isur psik reisha will not apply. And therefore, since you had the option of pouring it teepin teepin, you didn't pour it teepin teepin. But since you could have poured it teepin teepin, it already won't, and therefore won't be that considered a psik reisha. Be a chiddush. Tevus HaMishnah says this. Other Rishonim give simple terutzim. They say we're talking about a place where there's a very big fire. So even if you're going to pour the wine, it's not going to necessarily extinguish the fire. Others say it's talking about that on the Mizbeach, we mentioned this previously, there are different spots in the Mizbeach. There's the place where you have the actual fire, and there's the part where there isn't really a fire. So you pour it on that place where it's not necessarily going to cause a kibuy. And the last tarot we're going to quote is also a very famous Shittas HaRishonim, the Shittas HaOruch. The Shittas HaOruch holds that Psik Reisha Delay Nichale is not considered Psik Reisha. So here, certainly, you don't want to extinguish the fire. It's an issa to extinguish the fire, and you don't want the fire to be extinguished. So he says, even Rav Shimon, if he's maskim, a psik reisha, is osur by Davar She'eira Miskaven, psik reisha d'loy nichalei, he holds is not considered a psik reisha, and this is the case of psik reisha d'loy nichalei. Again, how far you can rely on psik reisha d'loy nichalei, Mishnah Berurah has a lot of discussions. Can you rely on it? Can you rely on it by the Rabbanon? Different rules. One more interesting vart that I saw from Shimon Shkop regarding a Davar She'eira Miskaven. He says as follows. He says, our Gemara is teaching us that a Davar She'eira Miskaven, Osir or Mutter, according to Yehuda, it's Osir. He asked the following question. What would be the halacha? A question could come up. There's a patient that's not in good shape. And the doctor suggests that a treatment be administered, but he warns the family, that this treatment could be one of two options. It could either help the patient or could kill him. And the family, again, we're not talking about any specific situation, we're just talking a conceptual situation, a hypothetical situation. The patient opts for the treatment, and the patient dies. According to the man of Davar She'eira Miskaven is also. According to the man of Davar She'eira Miskaven is mutter, was certainly Davar She'eira Miskaven, and certainly not a psik reisha. But according to the man of Davar She'eira Miskaven also, what will be the halacha? Will this doctor be considered a murderer? We're learning now that Davar She'eira Miskaven is not limited to Hilchos Shabbos anymore. What will be the halacha? So Rav Shimon has a very interesting approach to Davar She'eira Miskaven. He says there are two categories of actions. Sometimes the action, when the halacha looks at the action, the halacha looks at the actual action. The halacha doesn't look at the result. And sometimes the halacha looks at the result. And they come with very different rules. Where the halacha is looking at the result, there is no issue of Davar She'eira Miskaven. What is the issue when somebody chas v'shalom is a ritzayah? It's not the act of murder. It's the murder. And he didn't intend to murder. There everybody will agree that a Davar She'eira Miskaven is not considered a ritzayach. Only where the Torah isn't focused on the result, If somebody's Mechal Shabbos, even though he didn't accomplish anything, he's still a Mechal Shabbos. If you cooked food on Shabbos and the food came out terrible, you don't want to eat the food, you're still Mechal Shabbos, right? So there, says Reb Shimon, there's different rules of Dov Hashem Miskav, and that's where we have the Machlokes of Yehuda Reb Shimon. Ask the Gemara. So does that mean, Lememra, the Shmuel, Reb Shimon Sfirlei, the Shmuel is going to agree with Reb Shimon, and therefore he's going to allow the wine to be poured on the fire? Vam Shmuel, isn't Shmuel the band Omer that holds? And before we get into this Gemara, there's another Machlokes of Reb Shimon and Reb Yehuda. And that's the machlokes of a malachish and a tzricha legufa. Malachish and a tzricha legufa, the classical example of a malachish and a tzricha legufa, is somebody carrying out a mace, a nifter from a house on Shabbos. So we know that carrying is also on Shabbos. We're not going to the mukzah of the rabbanan. Let's talk about the deraisa. So it's considered a malachish and a tzricha legufa. Why is that a malachish and a tzricha legufa? So the way I always try to explain it, is that the test, if something is considered a malachshe and tzricha legufa or not, is would you really want to be in this situation? Because where did we have malachshe and the malach of carrying in the Mishkan, which is the model for malachas? They carried boards. So there they specifically had an intent to transport the board from point A to point B, because they needed them in point B. Here, and they needed those boards. Here, if you really had your option, you don't want the mace. So since you don't want the mace, even though now that you have the mace, you obviously, for whatever reason, don't want them in the house, that's called the Malach Shein Tzricha L'Gufa. And it's a big machlok, so Yehuda Reb Shimon, if Malach Shein Tzricha L'Gufa is Chayiv or not Chayiv. Reb Shimon holds you're not, Reb Yehuda holds you are. And the Gemara here is assuming that these two machlokes travel together. That the Shaila of Dov Hashem Miskaven and the Shaila of Malach Shein Tzrich Legufa travel together. And if you hold like Reb Shimon in one, you should hold like him in the other, or vice versa. Why? Explain the Mepharshim. Because it's obvious that the Machloikas of Reb Shimon and Yehuda, at least in the Havamin of the Gemara, is an approach to Malacha. Approach to act. Reb Shimon has a much more limited definition of what is considered your action. What is considered something attributable to you. Reb Yehuda obviously has a broader definition. So ask the Gemara. Here we see that Shmuel paskins like Reb Yehuda, because the Gemara says in Masechet Shabbos, "Mechaben gechelus shematchus b'shus rabim." You're allowed to extinguish. There's a coal made out of metal in the b'shus rabim. You're allowed to extinguish it. Obviously, only in a situation b'shus loyzek b'rabim, where there's a concern that somebody could get hurt with that gechelus. Avla gechelus shalaitz, but not by gechelus shalaitz. Why is there a difference between eitz and matchas? So I saw two pshatim in the Rishonim. The pshat that most Rishonim suggest is because where was their kibui in the Mishkan? Again, we said a moment ago that the Mishkan is our model for malacha. Where the kibui was they made coals. A wood coal, a wood gechelus will leave you with a coal, a pechen. A metal Gechelis will not leave you with a coal. So therefore, if Shmuel holds as follows, by Gechelis Shel Matchis, where you can't end up with a Issa Daraisa, and it's a situation of Hezek Rabim, he's lenient. By Gechelis Shel Eitz, where you could end up with a Daraisa, he's Machmer. The Yerayim has a much simpler approach. He says, again, using the same principle, that we look at the Mishkan as our model. In the Mishkan, all the gechelus were always just made out of wood. There were no gechelus al matchas. So the Yerayim holds the fact that there was no gechelus shel matchas in the Mishkan is enough to say that gechelus shel matchas, a kibui of a gechelus shel matchas, will never be a deraisa. Very bechidish, very bekula. But what do we see here? Let's think about this case where you have this gechelus in the street. So extinguishing the gechelus is certainly malach shen etzrich legufa. Let's use our test. What's our test? Our test is, if you had your druthers, you would never have the shaila. Of course you would rather not have the problem that you have the gechelus in the street. Now what should I do? So it's certainly Malach Shein Tzrich L'Gufa. And yet we see Rabbi Shimon as Machmer. So how do we want to suggest Rabbi Shimon follow? How do we want to say that Shmuel follows the opinion of Rabbi Shimon? Isn't this Gemara clearly indication that he follows the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda? V'isal k'daitach asked the Gemara. Rabbi Shimon Tzfirle, he ought to be Mekel, afil gachesh aitz nami, he ought to be lenient. Answers the Gemara that these two shilas don't necessarily travel together. But Davish ain't a miskavin, Savala Krev Shimon, Bachshan Srich Lagufa, Savala Krev Yehuda. So we just continued discussing wine poured on the Mizbeach for a few moments. Amar of Huna, the Sochab Shinitmu, even though we've learned in our Gemara that the halach is that certain parts, certain kabbanis, that have to get burnt. Most notably, the Purim HaNisrafim. So where they burnt? They burnt in a special place, Mokem HaDeshen, outside of all three Machnas. Nesachim Shnitmu, if the Nesachim become Tamei, Oyslam Arachim Afnei Atzman, they are not taken out of the Azara, but they're burnt in the Azara, Vesarfim, that's where they should be burnt. Shem Shnemar, Bekoidish Be'esh Tisarif. Machloikas Rishoinim, when the Gemara here says that they're burnt in the Azara, what does the Gemara mean? Some Rishonim suggest that on the floor of the Azara, they made a fire, and that's where they poured those Nesachim, they got Tamei that need to be burnt. Other Rishonim, however, suggest that they got burnt on the Mizbeach itself. Tanya Namihachi, and indeed, says the Gemara, so do we learn in a Braisa, Hadam Vashem Vamenachos, Vanesachim Shenitmu, Oyslam Marach Vafnei Atzman, a separate Marach is made, Vesarfim. Amay Shmuel Rav Huna, Shmuel told Rav Chanan Bag Dita, Isli Be'asara, bring me 10 people, Ve'emelach Kamayu, and I will say in front of them, Nesachim Shenitmu, Nesachim that could become Tamei, Islam Arach Vafnei Atma Vesarfim. There's a question in the Mefarshim, why did Shmuel specifically need to publicize this halacha if it's, you don't find that every halacha in Shas, you have to bring a minion to publicize. Why specifically by this halacha? So some of Farshim want to suggest that there's actually a diuk here. The Braisa says that everything that got Tamei, Oyslam Arach Vafnei Atzman. Shmuel isn't agreeing with the Braisa, because Shmuel only speaks about the Nesachim. So Shmuel wanted to publicize that even though the Braisa says that all of these items that got Tamei, Oyslam Arach Vafnei Atzman, says Shmuel, I don't agree. It's only the Nesachim where I hold that should make Arach Vafnei Atzman. Says the Mishnah. But before we begin the Mishnah, there are two interesting halachas that the Torah teaches us by the Karmel Chatos. And we're going to learn in this parak, part of the many halachas that we're going to learn in this parak, if these halachas apply only by Karmel Chatos, which Karmel Chatos or other kabbanis. The first halacha, which is the subject of this Mishnah, is that if the blood of a Karmel Chatos splatters on the Kayin's beged, he has to wash that beged. We're going to discuss how, where, what. The Gemara doesn't discuss why. But I saw the Rishonim give a number of explanations. One explanation that they give is because the blood is going to become nicer after the prescribed time. So that's why you have to wash it, because it becomes nicer. Another pshat is, there's a halacha that the dam of a carbon, we've discussed this halacha numerous times, may not be taken out of the Azara. So if that blood remains on the beged and the kohen walks out of the Azara, he'll be over for Yaitzei. But then I saw another explanation. What does a Karmel Chatos represent? A beautiful pshat. What does a Karmel Chatos represent? A Karmel Chatos represents that somebody, Rechmon Slan, did an Aveira, and it brings the carbon for a Kapara. What does the Kapara accomplish? It, so to speak, swipes away the Aveira. If there's going to be a stain from that carbon, that means you have a remainder of the Aveira. But we want to wipe away the Aveira. So we want to wipe away the Aveira. That's why we should wash it out. Which these reasons that I gave probably have relevance to two shailas that many Achronim discuss. One question is, when we're learning that the halach is you have to wash the beged, is it a halach that you have to wash it, even if you have no intention of wearing the beged? Or is the halach that only if you want to wear the beged, you can't wear the beged with this stain? That's one shaila that the Achronim discuss. Another question yeshivish question. What is the halacha? Is the halacha making the beged clean, or is the halacha getting the dam out? Again, in yeshivas, there are nafkaminas, and this is probably based on the reasons that we gave. So says the Mishnah. Dam chatas shenetus a beged. The dam of kam chatas that splatters on a beged. Hareza ton kibus. It requires to be washed out. And says the Mishnah. Avapi shakosev that teaches us this halacha. Is talking about the carbon chattis that's brought in the Mizbech Achitzin, which is a carbon that the Kohanim eat from. Shinema, the Pasuk, indeed, that teaches this halacha, says, B'mokim Kodesh Te'echel. The halacha, however, says the Mishnah, and we're going to discuss this in the Gemara in a moment, is Echara of the Chalus, Echara Pnimius, both the carbon chattis Achitzin, which is eaten by the Kohanim, the carbon chattis Pnimi. We learned numerous times that there are different types of carbon chattis that are brought in the base of Mikdash proper, on Yom Kippur, Parman Esrafim, they all require kibbutz. Shenemar, as the Torah says, Torah achatos, Torah achas l'kol achatos. Continues the Mishnah, chatos psula, however, if the chatos got posel, that carbon chatos ain't don domaton kibbutz. And says the Mishnah, this halacha, that a chatos psula doesn't require kibbutz, is regardless whether the carbon chattis was at one point valid and then became disqualified, or ben shloy ois l'shas kosher was never qualified. And the Mishnah gives us an example of both. Ezu shois l'shas kosher was an example of a carbon chattis that was once good and then got disqualified. Says the Mishnah shlona, that the blood was left over past the right time. Shenitma, that the blood became tamei. So the Mefarshim ask, how could blood of a carbon chattis that gets tamei disqualify the carbon? Haven't we learned many times that the tzitz is meratza if the blood becomes tamei? So I saw three answers to this question. One answer is the Gemara that we've learned as a machlokes tanoim, if the tzitz has the ability to be meratza only when the kohen gadol is wearing the tzitz or at all times. So according to the opinion that the tzitz only affects kapara when the kohen gadol is wearing it, here we're talking about a case where the kohen gadol isn't wearing the tzitz. Fairly simple answer. Another answer, a fairly difficult answer to understand, is that we're referring to a situation where the tzitz is broken. Rishonim say it, I wouldn't say it. The tzitz is broken, and since it's broken, it doesn't have the ability to be mechaper. Then I saw another interesting teretz. That yes, the tzitz has the ability to be meratza on the dam that gets tamei. However, there's a rule that we've learned, ein basar, ein dam. Yes, if the dam itself gets tamei, we have the power of the tzitz. But if something happens to the basar, not only will it affect the basar, but it will affect the dam as well. And that's the case that the Mishnah is referring to. Or shiyotzu. It was taken out of the Azara, a very strong disqualification. Continues the Mishnah, the Ezish Lohos Loshas Kosher. What are examples of a carbon chattis that was never valid? Shenishchata Chutzos Manim Chutzos Kaima, examples that we've learned many times, where it was done with Pigel or Machsheves Pasol, or Shekiva Psula Mazarkos Dama, that it was done by somebody who was disqualified. So from the moment of it began, it was Pasol. Ask the Gemara, Dam Chattis. So our Mishnah said that dam of all carbon chattis, of a behema, the halach is if that blood splatters on the big day kahuna, those big day kahuna must be washed. Ask the Gemara if our Mishnah quoted the pasuk Torah Achas to include all carbon chattos, Torah Achas comes to include l'chol chattos, afil chattos oif nami, then the halach should be even by chattos oif if they blood of that carbon splatters on the coin's beged, you should have to wash it out. Allah Matanya, why have we learned in a braisa? Yochel tehei dam chattis oif ton kibbus, that the dam of a chattis oif that splatters on the beged should require kibbus, tamaloima zois. The Torah uses the word zois to limit this rule. Answers the Gemara. Amar eshlokim mishim ba'kapara, amakra, the pasuk that speaks about this rule, uses the words tishochet. The Torah is only speaking about a carbon chattis that's slaughtered. not karmachatas oif, which you know that the nafshchita has melika. Ask the Gemara, if we're using this pasuk, why don't we say veima bin cholus akos medaber? So why don't we take the pasuk a step further and say that only the karmachatas, that part of it is eaten? That's where there's a halacha, that if the blood spatters, it should be washed out. And we have reason to say such a halacha. Because the pasuk says, b'mokim kodesh ta'ichu, avol pnimiyos, a karmachatas, that's all the karmachatas that are offered inside the Beis HaMikdash, they are never eaten. So that the halacha of washing, of kibbutz, ought not to apply to them. Answers the Gemara, because Rabbi Rechmana Tyrus. Even though you have a reason to, you have a good basis to limit the halacha and exclude chatas pnimius, but the Torah uses the words chat tyrus to include something that you normally would exclude. Ask the Gemara, if we're relying so heavily on the word tyrus, I feel a chatas oif nami. So then why don't we say that chatas oif should be included in the halacha of kibbutz? Answers the Gemara, mir rechmana zois. What is the Gemara essentially saying? We have two words that bring different results. The word tyrus is a ribui, the word zois is a miut. And therefore, we're saying tyrus being marba, the chatas apnemius, and the zois is excluding the chatas oif. Ask the Gemara the obvious question, marisa. Fine, I have these two conflicting words, and therefore we have to use our svara to apply which word where, but maybe we should say just the opposite. And maybe we should say tyrus marba chatas oif, and Zois is marba, and Zois is marat chatas pnimius. Answers the Gemara, mistabra chatas behema pnimius havel rebuye. If we're going to be marba something, we're going to be marba the chatas behema pnimius, because it has all of these common characteristics, the common denominators, with a chatas chitzoyne. Shekem behema, they're both animals, they're both shchita tzofen. They both have to have the shkita in the north of the Azara. They both require Kabbalah's Kli, that the dam be taken by a Keli. The Keren, they both require that the blood be put on the corner of the Mizbeach. The Etzba, by the finger of the Kayin. The Chuda, along the edge. Even though Tosfos points out that the mandama that holds Keren doesn't hold Chuda. The mandama that holds Chuda doesn't hold Keren. So we may have to eliminate one common characteristic, the ishim. And both of them, the carbon has a portion that's burnt. By the chatas oif, to recall, it's good chazara, by chatas oif, all of the blood is put on the mizbeach, but all of the meat of the bird is eaten by the kahanim. So therefore, the chatas chitzoyin, the chatas pnimi, have all of these common denominators. That's why I'm going to say it's likely that when the Torah was marba, with the word Torah, it meant to be marba chatas pnimius. Ask the Gemara, you can make a very strong argument the other way. Ad the Rabba, chatas ha'oif have a little buye, because it has all of these characteristics. Shekein chutz k'maisa. They're both brought outside the Beis HaMikdash. V'achila k'maisa, by both of them, there's a portion that's eaten by the chatas ha'oif. All of it, by the chatas chitzin, part of it. So why are we applying the psukim this way? Hanach nefishin, answers the Gemara, there are more common denominators, more common characteristics between the chatas pnimi versus with the chatas chitzin than the chatas oif ter chatas chitzin. Rabbi Yosef Omer, Rabbi Yosef says, Omakra yuchlena, lezu v'loy lacheres, b'necholos miyit hakosef. What's Rabbi Yosef saying? That the Torah is teaching us, amongst the karbonis, chatas, amongst the karmen chatas that you're going to eat, there's going to be some karmen chatas that you eat that will have the halacha of kibbutz, and there's going to be some karmen chatas that you're going to eat that doesn't have the halacha of kibbutz. So obviously the Torah is not speaking about the chatas pnimius, because as we said a moment ago, none of the chatas pnimius is eaten. Says the Gemara, Gevaldik. So this is why Rabbi Yosef says that the din of kibbutz doesn't apply by the chatas oif. Ask the Gemara if so, velazois. That we said on Amud Aleph that the word Zois is the word that's used to exclude the Chatas Oif. Why does the Torah have to say it? I could get to this result with this pasuk. Answers the Gemara. Ilav Zois Havamina. If I didn't have the word Zois, I would say Yechlena. Then when the Torah uses the word Yechlena, it's Urch the Kroah. It's not come to teach us anything special. Kamash Malan. Rav Amma, Amma Kura, Ashiyaza, Bahazos Akas Vedaber. The Torah is speaking strictly about Kabbonis that have Hazor. And by the Pnimius, the Torah, by the Pnimius, the Torah uses also the words Hazor. Ask the Gemara, Tanya Apishen Akos Medaber El Benachalos. So how can you say that's talking about, that it's excluding, that we're talking about the Pnimius? He was saying that it's talking only about the Nechalos, and the Pnimius is not Nechalos. Answer the Gemara, that then is regarding another halacha, which we're not going to discuss today, we're going to discuss later in the parak, Linyan Mirik Vishtifa. The Torah speaks about the pots and pans that were used to cook the Kabbonis, that they have to be kashered. Avel in Kibus, when it comes regarding Kibus, Ashiyazaksiv. The Torah, when it uses the word Ashiyaz, it's talking about Shekibus. Ask the Gemara, if so, we have a question. The Braisa says, Iochi, the Mishnah says, Echran and Cholos Echran Pnimius, which seems to indicate that the main carbon that requires Kibus is the Chatzis Achitzin, and then we extend it to the Chatzis Pnimi. But if you're saying that the Torah, by using the word Ashiyaza, let's just review what I'm saying, is saying that the Pnimius, where the Torah uses that word, is the carbon that requires Kibus, so the main pasuk is stated regarding the Pnimi. And we're only extrapolating that the Necholos have the same din. So the Mishnah should have used the opposite order. The Mishnah should have said, Echra Pnimis, Vechra Necholos. Answers the Mibaylei, that should have been the order stated in the Mishnah. Answers the Gemara, fine. Tani indeed learned Echra Pnimis, Vechra Necholos. Ask the Gemara, so let's extend this din, not only to Chatas Achitzin, why don't we extend it also to Chatas Oif Nami, that should require Kibus? Answers the Gemara, Miet Rachmana Zois. The Torah uses the word Zois to exclude the Chatas Ha'oif. Ask the Gemara, if the Torah uses, and this Gemara is almost a repetition of what we learned before, Ihachi Chitzon Nami Loi. Again, the Gemara is starting, let's just get our bearings, that the Chatas Pnimius is where the Torah taught us the din of Kibus, and we're extending it to the Chatas Chitzoina. Ask the Gemara, if we have the word Zois that limits the din, maybe it's excluding also the Chatas Achitzin. Answers the Gemara, there's a word, Riba Rachmana Tyrus. The word Tyra includes the Chatas, includes something, and we're saying that it includes the Chatas Achitzin. So again, we start with the Torah teaching us that the Chatas Pnimi requires Kibbutz. Zois excludes the Chatas Oif. Tyrus includes the Chatas Achitzin. Ask the Gemara the same question as we asked before. Or Maris, maybe say just the opposite. Include the Chatas Oif. Exclude the Chatas Achitzin. Answers the Gemara. Mestabra makes all the more sense. Chatas behem lo havel rebuy to be marbet chatas achitzin. Shekena has all the following common denominators. Shekem behema shechitas sofin v'kabals kli v'karen v'etzva v'chud of ishim. Ask the Gemara. Adrab chatas oif havel rebuy. Maybe we should include the chatas oif because it has the following common characteristics. Shekena hazor k'moisa. It both require hazor, whereas Chatas Chitzin doesn't have a Zohar, and says the Gemara, Hanach Nefishin, we go where there's more common characteristics. Ask the Gemara, Boy Reb Oven, Chatas Oif, Shehechnes Doma B'Tzavara. If you took in a Chatas Oif, where we know that about the Chatas Oif, there's no Kabbalah Stam in a Keli, so you took the Chatas Oif with the blood on its neck, Mahu. What will be the Halacha? Just to give background to this Gemara's question. We know that halacha is, by Chatas Achitzin, that's taken into the Beis HaMikdash, the carbon becomes disqualified. Why would be the halacha, asked the Gemara, by Chatas Oif, that was taken in? So of course, the Mefarshim point out, that if you took the Chatas Oif into the Beis HaMikdash, not only did you take it into the base of Mikdash, but you actually did the avoid, you did hazor with it in the base of Mikdash, which is what you're not supposed to do. You're supposed to do the avoid of the Chatas Oif on the Mizbech HaChitzen. It's disqualified. There's no question about that. Here, the Gemara is referring to a situation where you took it in and you immediately took it out. Does it become disqualified just by taking it in? What is the Gemara's question? And the Gemara says this almost explicitly, is does the neck, since by Chatas Oif, the halacha is that, you, as I said a moment ago, you don't put the dam into the keli, you leave it, right, you do the hazor directly from the bird, so does the neck become the keli? And therefore, just like by Chatas Behemoth, you took the dam in the keli into the Beis HaMikdash, it becomes disqualified. The dam of the Chatas Ha'oif on the tzaver is like, on the neck, is like taking it in a keli. And in fact, to give an appreciation to this question, most Mefarshim don't learn Pshat in the Gemara this way, but some say it's talking about a case where you didn't take the entire bird in. You only took in the neck. You only took in the small part of the bird with the blood on it. Since you only took it in that way, it does have very similar to a keli. And yes, it's not a keli, it's the neck, but you don't need a keli. How do we look at the bird? Again, most Mefarshim don't necessarily explain the Gemara that way. So again, ask the Gemara. And again, this question that we're learning, the obvious question that's probably going through all of your mind, is we're learning now the halach of kibbutz. How does this, what does this have to do with kibbutz? Mefarshim explained, simple pshat is because we just spoke about the Chatas Oif. So Gemara dwells on the Chatas Oif for a moment. Another teretz is it's going to lead up to questions that actually are relevant to our sugyas. By Rav Ovin, Chatas Oif, Sheikh Nastama B'Tzavar B'Fnim, Mahu, how do we look at it? Do we look at it, the tzavarik klisharis dami? Do we look at the neck of this bird like a klisharis? And the halacha is that if dam was brought into klisharis of a chat, the dam of a chat is brought into klisharis into the base of Mikdash, nifso, it becomes disqualified. Oidama b'tzar behemad, says the Gemara, midama, the Torah speaks about dam, amrachman of aloy b'sara, and not the meat. The meat, when the dam is on the basar, it's considered an extension of the basar. It's not considered a separate entity. Toshma, the Gemara wants to bring a raya. Pechaso v'nechnas alafnim. If the bird or the animal jump in to the, if the bird jumps in to the Beis HaMikdash, the chazra, and then it jumps out, kshera. Hochnisa, it's mashma. Hochnisa, if you would take it in, under any circumstances, it would be psula. Ask the Gemara, is that correct? By Kotche Kotchim, the halach is that the shchit of the Kotche Kotchim has to be done with tzofen. Yet the Brisa says, Pirchas of a yotzla don v'chazuk sheira. Haitzia, psula, says the Gemara, elahai yotzla chutzitzruchalei. The reason where well, that's not true, because the halacha is, as long as you did the shechita b'tzofen, it's fine. What is the deek of the braisa? The deek of the braisa is that if it was taken out of the azora, it's possible. Hachnami, yotzis alechutz, it's ruchlei. The chiddush is that it was taken out entirely. That's when it's a problem. But regarding our question, if it went into the Beis HaMikdash, even though it was on the neck of the animal, indeed the halacha is that that dam will not become possible by chatas oif.